Morning. Yes.
And now we are good to go. And Rebecca, it's your turn right now.
Welcome to our podcast, Gen X and Gen Z in a Dialogue. Welcome back. This is our first episode in English as we are having our first international guest, which is Gregory and Jalbert. And so this podcast is going to be in English, but we're still going to follow the same structure. We're going to ask questions, we're going to be spontaneous, we're going to have a conversation together. And so first, my dad is going to introduce our guest and tell you a little bit about him.
Yeah. Hi guys. Hi listeners. Thank you very much for listening again to our podcast. And our intention was always to have also some special guest in our podcast series, which is today definitely the case. I'm very proud. We are very proud to have Gregory today with us. I will tell a little bit about him and where our connection was starting. I know Gregory because of he was a vice president of Bombardier for region Asian Pacific, which was in my career my key account in a company here close where I live. And then I followed Gregory on his journey because he did also from a very famous coaching organization ITT World from Dr. Peter Chi, a certified master coach. And this was the time where I was following him on LinkedIn, and then later on he started something on YouTube. Gregory is was working 18 years for Bombardier in various roles and positions. Maybe he will explain a little bit more about that. On his LinkedIn profile, which I checked today, there is a statement that he has 130,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel, which is called Renew. We got informed that it's close to 200,000, which is fantastic, Gregory. Well done. Fantastic job. By the way, listeners, this is joined the YouTube channel of Gregory. He's giving 10 minutes. Informations about leadership, about life, about situations, also in the world, where he explains really in detail and in very funny videos sometimes also the topic he discusses. And he lives in Bangkok. And it's now time for giving Gregory the chance to tell a little bit more about him. And very proud to have him today.
Well, thank you very much, Garon, and thank you very much, Rebecca, for having me. It's my honor and pleasure to be with you today. Mostly because I think what you're doing as a podcast is a great idea. Mixing generation, having a conversation, and understanding this is something which I find beautiful and a beautiful idea. So, well done on doing that, and I'm very happy to be your first international guest. Forcing you to be a little bit speaking English, but both of you are wonderful in English, so that should be a breeze for everybody. You already said a lot about me, so yes, I'm French originally, but I left France about 26 years ago. As you say, I spent almost 20 years in a corporate role that took me to Canada. I used to live in Toronto, used to live in Berlin in Germany. Close to London in the UK, then I spent some time in Beijing in China, and finally nowadays for the past 13 years in Bangkok. And as you say, well, I had a corporate life, but at some point I decided to do something else with my life, which was about 6 years ago. And I left that. I didn't know what I was going to do back then. I just decided that if I was not going to voluntarily leave my corporate life, nobody would kick me out. I had a good career. It was all good. But some people say, Marshall Goldsmith says that it's good to leave when you're at the top. I think he's got something good with that. And I decided to leave, when I was at a good moment in my career. So that's when I moved on to do a lot of different things. In the first 2 years, I had a startup. Which I completely failed. It cost me a lot of money. I made a video about it, actually. If you want to learn about how to lose $300,000 in a year, I've got a video for you.
Okay.
So that was one of my experience. I did a few different things with different working partners, but eventually I settled with creating my YouTube channel. Originally, I wanted to do personal finance coaching. Then I realized that talking about finance all the time is quite boring. It's not really my passion. So eventually I moved back to what has always been my passion when I was in Bombardier, which was, how do you help people develop? How do I help myself develop? How do you help others develop, grow as people, and become the best person that they can be according to their own definition? So not according to my definition, but according to their definition. And one of the practice which is best to help people grow is coaching together with mentoring. So as you mentioned, we've done a similar master coach program, you and I. I've done a few to just keep learning on being a better coach. And I've been growing my coaching business for the past 4 years, and I do it with a lot of international companies, also individuals. I like to do that, and I do still do a little bit of personal finance coaching. And I don't have kids, but I have a partner who is British, and I have a lot of nieces and nephew. Okay, my first brother was very productive, so he's got five kids. My second brother has one. Out of the six, there are five girls. I shouldn't call them girls because the oldest one is 35, and my nephew, who is the youngest one, is 13. So there's a big, and I've seen them grow, and some of them are Gen Z. And I actually have interesting conversation with my Gen Z nieces, because I coach one on personal finance and I've coached the other on how to help with developing your career. And she's doing very well, not thanks to me, thanks to what she does. So there you go. So I've already have a little bit of a dialogue with Gen Z in my life.
Yeah, cool. Thank you very much for that. Maybe I give Rebecca the first chance to ask a question if she wants. Otherwise, I will start as always. I have so many questions, but we noticed in one of our latest podcast episodes that I speak a lot, and my lessons learned because of I was reflecting myself was then giving Rebecca more talking time to have then a 50-50, which will not be the case for sure, not because I have you today here, Gregory, and I will use the chance to ask you a
So
lot of.
we need to tell you to zip it, Gerard.
Yeah,
Okay.
I know, I know. Rebecca, if you want, shoot.
Just the general questions. What do you think about the situation between the generations? Because most of the time it is the case that the older generations kind of look down on the younger generations, and the younger generations are thinking, oh, the old ones, we're not gonna do what they say. And we've also talked about this in our last episode, that there's kind of a conflict, and there's also kind of a miscommunication between the generations. And it's not just this one, but it has been before, because you were also young once, and I'm sure it was the same way with you. And just what do you think about this, and what do you think we can all do to make it better, to kind of not have this problem anymore?
Well, it's a great question, Rebecca. And just for the benefit of Gerard and I, we still believe we're young. We're not, but we still have this
That's
fixation
true.
that there's many dimensions to your question. One of them is the fact that yes, every generation thinks that they are special, and that's great. Every generation should feel that they are special, because every generation is a little bit different. And at the same time, every generation is the same. So it's different because people are born in different times. Access to technology is very different. What are formative experiences in childhood are different according to generation. They're not all different, but a lot of them are different. And we know that Well, technology has really changed a lot in the past 50 years. So generation after generation have had to cope with very different ways of interacting as human beings also. Now, generation are the same because, well, yeah, I see generation, Gen Z people in their 20s, and I see what I was in my 20s. And yeah, there is a search for identity, there is a search for independence, there is a search for meaning. There's a search for identities through building something that you have built yourself. And identity is a lot of about that. I think I agree with you. There might be some misunderstanding sometimes, but I think the question is, are we open-minded on both sides? Are we, there might be, we might be closed-minded on both sides, or might, we might be open-minded on both sides. Being closed-minded on both on either side is to basically, if you're Gen Z, to say, well, I have nothing to learn from older people, for instance, just as a cliche. And the older people saying, oh, all these generations, they're really not as good as we used to be. So all of that is just like very, it's a closed mindset. If you've read the book from Carol Dweck, which is Growth, it's called Mindset,
Fixed
and
mindset
it she talks
versus
about,
growth mindset. Yes.
yeah, fixed mindset versus growth mindset. At any age, you can be that person. When I was a young, I was a teenager and a young adult, I was a fixed mindset person. Okay, I come from a culture which tend to be a little bit arrogant. Okay, so French people might be a little bit arrogant, or a lot. Okay, and we tend to think that we know better, that we're smart, etc. So we tend to basically see information coming to us as, well, I'm sure I know better than that. And that, yeah, that triggered me when I was younger to not necessarily accept new ideas. It took me to actually start working and realize that when you work, you achieve something, you're being recognized for what you do. I was lucky to be in an international company where merit was the number one thing. It was not about politics. It was really about if you work hard, if you work well, you'll be recognized for it. And then you learn something about, okay, if I learn, I work hard, I grow, people recognize for me, and then you enter this growth mindset and this, virtuous circle about how you grow. So there might be misunderstanding, but the misunderstanding might be linked to the mindset that we put in the relationship between people. There is, I would say there is also my angle from an experience, because you asked me also, I've been young once, yes. And so when I was in my 20s, I mean, I worked in Bombardier and I was a high potential. So this term is used for people who can, usually move fairly fast. And so being a high potential, I had the opportunity of being exposed to different things. It helped me to look at people around me and say, okay, who are my mentors? I didn't have any formal mentors, but everybody around me was a mentor in some sort. Even the bad people in terms of performance, I had some bosses where I was like, come on, this is nonsense. Why are we doing this? Etc. Everybody's like that. But you can learn a lot from the people that you actually feel are not doing what you think is the right thing. Because what you might discover later is that there was a reason for why they were doing it, or you might do better. There is only one way is to really experiment. So all of that parachuted me. When I was 33, I was the project director for probably the biggest project for the company at that time. I had 1 year of project management experience. I was not supposed to be in that position. Usually they took people who are 20 to 30 years to be project director. I was in China, delivering a high-speed line, and then suddenly I had, in an indirect way, the team was made of 200 people. They were not all reporting to me, but 2 years before, I had never had anybody reporting to me. A year before, I had a team of three people, and then suddenly I had 200 people. And I can tell you, a lot of those people, some of them were in their 50s, even 60s. They were senior engineers. I was terrified. I was totally terrified. I was like imposter syndrome in a really big way. Like, why am I doing this? You should have a person who has 30 years experience more than me, who spent 20 years in China, blah, blah, blah. Now, there was nobody else to do the job, so I had to do it basically. And what I've learned is, you know what the older people did with me?
No way.
They
So,
trusted me. They trusted me. So they put trust in me and they told me, you got this, Greg. You're going to make it. It's okay. We're here for you. They didn't lord over me. They didn't tell me, hey, you're not qualified to do that. I had done a lot of work the year before, so some of them knew already that I was a hardworking person. I was also logical in my way of doing things, so they saw potential in me and they decided to help me. Also, they were perfectly happy to do what they were doing. So the message, the indirect message given to me was, don't try to do our job, do yours, we'll do ours. Learn something from us, and there's probably maybe something we'll learn from you. And that's how it worked, and we were successful. And after that, it helped my career in growing. It was a really fast growing part of my life, I can tell you that. So I think it's really the attitude we put. I believe we have different roles to play at different moments in our life. As I, you know, it was funny when I was a high potential. I used to be the youngest manager, youngest VP, blah blah blah. Well, one day you're not the youngest anymore. I'm not the youngest anymore. I might still be the youngest for a few things, but it's not going to get better. At some point, I'll be the oldest. And you better get used to this and to actually, I think for us as a different generation, is to accept that we play a different role. And that for Gen Z needs to have their time to shine and to grow and to discover life. To make mistakes, and hopefully also to learn from us because we've made a lot of mistakes in our time. So that's sorry, it's a long answer to your
Fine.
question.
You want something to add, Rebecca?
No, I'm actually making way for you because you
Okay.
want to ask questions,
Yes,
so
of course.
okay.
Yeah, what I heard is, I think, coming back to the corporate world, and maybe this is the last question about your role in the corporate world. And I want to come back, especially to the situation where we were a young leader, or we were put in the situation to be a young leader. And a lot of people are thinking really to get promoted and be in the position, getting really position where they have also then leading a lot of people. What would be the three things you say as out of your experience as a high potential in the early 30s, working with also the experienced people, where you said also the senior engineers? What were some mistakes you did at that time, and what advice or tips you could give them, the youngest, especially in these situations?
Yeah. Thank you, Gerard. You want three, or
Yeah,
I'll go.
how much you have? It depends.
We'll see. We'll see how many I have. I think when I was that age, I still, I talked about arrogance, and I still had that. It took me a while, and I still have it a little bit, but a lot less than 20 years ago, I'd say. I still had this arrogance that maybe I knew better, even if I didn't know in a way, because I'd never experienced it. But on paper, I've always been a big reader of series of books, etc. So I thought I knew because I had read it. Well, not really. You only know it once you experiment it and you see if it works or it doesn't. Then you learn something. If you fail, you learn something out of it. But really, the experimentation aspect. If I would restart my 20s, I would say, man, I would have taken a lot more risk and I would have experimented a lot faster. Because when I was younger, I just said, well, first I wouldn't want to take the risk because I was like, well, it's not worth trying that because I already know in my head what it is, but I didn't. So nowadays I'm a machine of experimentation. I love trying new stuff all the time. Because it's, that's the only way that you can really fully discover life. You can always hear stories from people, and it's good to hear stories from people because you are inspired, but it's much better to experiment them. So yeah, that's one big lesson about not having the arrogance of knowledge which is not verified by experience. What else? Maybe I would say sometimes we want to do things super fast. So I literally, until I actually came to Bangkok and I took this job here, my last job in my corporate life, I changed my job every year and a half in the corporation. So I was, I could move fast, but the problem is I always felt like I had this cycle of, oh, 6 months of discovery, 6 months of consolidation, and 6 months of boredom. But it was a bit fake, because when you move that fast, you always feel that you're actually not a professional in anything. You don't go deep in most things. So I became a very good generalist, but at the same time, I was never really a specialist of anything. So there are choices to make, about this kind of thing. I think there is a value of being a generalist. There is a value of being a specialist in something, to be an expert. It's like musician or singers and people who really focus on one thing. Achieving mastery takes time. So it's for people to consider that if you want to be a master at something, it will take time. And another thing is, I've mentioned experimenting a lot. I think trying new things when you're in your 20s or early 30s is still one important thing to do. And trying to also live according to understanding fairly early in your life, and hopefully with the support of someone, why are you on this planet? That's a pretty big one, because it took me until 8 years ago for me to really understand what that was. I might have it somewhere in my head. I had, like a way of thinking about it, but I had not written that down. I had not really thought it through. What were my core values? What were my strengths? My interests? What was my life purpose? And well, I see you smiling, Gerard, because I've done the exercise with Peter Chi. One morning in December 2017 in Penang, we were with doing some rising sun coaching, 3.5 hours together, and he helped me to actually find that my first version of my life purpose. I'm at my number nine now, so it's evolved quite a lot. But this is something that I would have loved discovering earlier. Simply because I think it was already somewhere inside me. But those are really guiding lights in your life. If you know your core values, if you know your purpose, if you know your interest, you can go towards them. You can experiment life in a much more intentional way, not in a random way, but say, oh, I'm going to try that because this I think I'm going to like. Or I'm not going to talk to that person anymore because that person is my values. And that person values are not working together. Being a lot more intentional about your life early, so working on that, working on discovering yourself, self-awareness in a big, big way. In my 20s, would have loved to do that.
Rebecca is also smiling and making a lot of notes, what I see. The same on my end. Of
So
course.
what do you think, Rebecca? This is a dialogue, so tell me your thoughts about what we've talked about so far.
I think I'm only starting my 20s, so I can't really say for sure. But like you said, 20s are like for kind of finding yourself and kind of looking for purpose. And I've also kind of started this. I have done my life purpose statement because my dad was like, you have to do it. And so that is because he always said, yeah, I can help you and we can do this together. So I already have it written down.
Excellent.
But I think experimenting a lot is a very good point. I think trying out new things because I'm also studying, so I do have quite a lot of free time, I have to say. So I also have time to try new things and also learning. And I think reading is also very important and just kind of, also being self-aware and just Learning how you as a person work, what's important to you, because then it can only get better in your life, and also surrounding yourself with people who support you. That's also something my dad always says, that I think the combination of the people that surround you is very important. And yeah, so I can just agree with all the points you said. And I wrote them down so that I don't forget them. And yeah.
Thank you. So what are you experimenting with?
I want to try new things, as in like physical exercise. Just kind of seeing if I like it. I did Muay Thai for a bit of time.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Oh, I know. I live in the country.
And I think it was very hard. It was a lot of exercise, but it was really nice. And I think just trying new sports is really important. And I've also been reading more because I was a big reader when I was a child, but I've kind of fell out of it. Because of, phone and iPad and all, that is true, sadly. But I started reading more and just also reading classics, like books from Virginia Woolf and Jane Austen, just so I can kind of educate myself. And yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah,
I
thank
love
you.
the books part particularly because I love reading. So,
Yeah.
and classics are excellent in what you see in some of the classics, English classics, or well, whatever language. If we take 19th century, 18th century, is there's always a granularity of emotions which explored in those books, which is really nice. There's a different pace also, which I like. Because emotional discovery is what I think is becoming quite hard right now for the generations coming. As you said, there's phones, etc. And we are social animals. We're also physical animals. If there's no touch, if there's no vision of people outside of a screen, then we lose. Well, it's not that we lose something; it's that we don't have something that we need in our life. So yeah, on you.
Thank you.
Yeah, because we come more or less also to the end. I would have maybe one or two last questions to you, Gregory, because I think for the listeners, it's very interesting to have a person here in our podcast today, which was really successful in a very big company. And people always think he has everything what he wants. What was then really, and I see you smiling also, because this is always what people think. What was a kind of how to describe that a turning point in your life where you said there should be something more, or I stop now because of, and I want to do something different. Maybe you can give us an insight on that because yeah, I know a lot of people are always saying, yeah, but I can't do that, or I can't do this because of what would be your story about that? What would you say to the people?
Well, I probably have one word for everybody about this, just one, and that's called curiosity. Okay. This is what will drive you, and curiosity is something we all have. We just forget about it, but when you're a kid, you cannot be a kid and have no curiosity. Because to learn things in life, to learn to walk, to do anything, when you're a kid, automatically you have it. The environment in which we live can nurture this or can squash it. I have to say, my school environment in France, it's very much a squashing environment in terms of curiosity. It was not, so I had to rediscover it by myself, but it was always somewhere inside me. When you talk about, what changed for me to move away from a corporate life, for instance. Well, when I joined Bombardier, I already knew in the first 6 months that I was going to leave. It just took me almost 20 years to do it, but I knew it. So I was always demanding about the life that I was having. Is it good enough? Is it something that I really want to do? I'm not saying that I knew what was the right answer, because first I was very ambitious, so I thought it was about climbing the ladder. But the more I climbed the ladder, the more I realized that my identity, my ego was soothed, because I was like, oh, you've achieved this, you've achieved that. So the need to prove myself started to go down. And then when the need to prove yourself go down, then you're like, so what is left? What am I left with now? And then that's when you start to really, instead of living somebody else's life, which was this life of, well, you know, I need to climb the ladder, I'll be president of the company, blah, blah, blah. So that's what I wanted in my 20s. But the more I got close to the top, the more I was like, do I want this? No, maybe I don't. Maybe I don't. And then because you feel the friction, you know, as you say, there might be a rosy glow around being at the top of an organization. But it demands a complete dedication, you know. I was working in the signaling business, which means that this is you know, what makes safe a railway. So if you have about 30 system in Asia Pacific which are running with your signaling, you're always hoping that there's never going to be any problem, because if there is a problem, people will die. So when you have a position like this, you constantly think about, are my is the staff doing okay? Are we doing everything for them that is possible? Is a client okay? Is there going to be an accident or not that, you know, we had crisis or things like that? It's always in the back of your mind. So this takes, you know, it takes a toll eventually. Also, it's your entire life. When you live a corporate life at high level, you don't really have much time for anything else. It's your life. You can do some sports, etc. But it will be limited, because it really is a job that takes a lot of your time, and your mind is taken. So what changed progressively was, well, for me, it was also the friction about the person that I wanted to become and what I wanted to explore versus where I was. There's only so much you can do, you know. Yes, okay, if they give you a good salary, etc., you can stay there and pocket your salary and continue to do the same job for another 20 years, but that's boring. It's just like, discover anything. And my curiosity was saying, you know, come on, you know, there's a lot of things scary out there. And leaving my job was scary. I only had worked for one company in my entire life. So I remember writing my resignation letter the first time, and it was really like a very scary thing to do. And I know some, you know, I know some young people that had done that, like, you know, by the age of 30s have already worked in eight companies. So that I admire, because people are able to actually write a resignation letter very easily. For me, it was really hard. But once I did it, then I, you know, I learned something. I faced the emotion of leaving, and leaving a high corporate job means that you need to reinvent yourself. You need to find a new identity. You don't have 1,000 people who are basically doing everything for you most of the time. You suddenly have to do things on your own. I'm not saying that it's a bad life. I think it's an experience in life. Nowadays, I manage myself. I've learned in the past 6 years, I've learned a lot of things about using my 10 fingers again, and I love it. I love doing that. I love having one-on-one conversation with coaching, where, you know, you see people change, you see people grow. And that is not something I could do in my corporate life, not the same way as I'm doing now. So yeah. So in conclusion, I do love what I'm doing now.
Good. Any other question from your side, Rebecca?
Not really. I was just listening to him, and he said a lot, and I think it's kind of like a very educational conversation that we're having here. Because you speak from a lot of experience, and I also think it was very brave to leave a company after so many years, but you still did it, and now you're doing something that you actually love. And I think that's also very important to say, because it's not something that you hear very often, especially when you have such a high position. But I'm very glad that you love what you're doing today, and I mean, many other people are enjoying it on your YouTube channel, so I'm very sure that you're doing something very great and amazing, and yeah.
Thank you, Rebecca.
You're welcome.
Yeah, this was always also part of my intention to do this podcast, to give her also the chance to speak to the senior people also. And we spoke about it, Gregory. We have on this Thursday another great conversation with Sarah MacArthur, talking to her, being part of our podcast. I mentioned to her that I have a podcast recording with you, and she was saying, I love the work Gregory is doing, which means this. This community is very close, and yeah, maybe some takeaways from my end before I give you the chance to yeah, say some final words, Gregory. What I love was, of course, your story about life purpose statement with Dr. Peter G. I did it the same way. I had not the chance to do it in this Sunrise coaching in Penang with him, but we were doing it more or less than online, and it is fantastic. I think we both can only recommend, if someone wants to do it, contact Gregory or me. We are happy to support you guys, and this is so powerful. It's really amazing. And I think one thing which was really stick to my mind was reading books doesn't mean you know how to do it. And this is an analogy I like very much, because I do this Ironman stuff, everybody knows, and reading a book about swimming doesn't mean you can swim. And this is, I think, with a lot of other things in life, it is the same. Yes, of course, you can read a lot, but, and this was another lesson I learned today from you, Gregory, was try it then also, but be also aware of that you will fail. And I think this is also something: experiment, fail, repeat. Experiment, fail, repeat. I think this is really something where you can grow a lot. And yeah, I think that was my final words. And of course, we would love to give you the chance now to say some words, and then yeah, we are coming to the end.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing what you've taken out of the podcast, Garen. It's interesting for me too, because I live my life in a certain way, but when you give me a chance to see what you hear from me, it's also great. You're lucky to have Sarah. Yeah, I have as much respect for her as what she said for me. Probably a lot more respect for her, as because what she does is wonderful. It's I'm sure you will have a great conversation with her. One thing I wanted to say is the fact that life is about finding meaning. As human beings, what we're trying to do at any generation, any level, one way or another, we're trying to find meaning for why are we here and where are we going. And I always think about, I guess Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. It's an excellent book. He's a survivor from Holocaust, and he talks about, how to find meaning in even the most difficult situation. So whatever we're facing, we are here to find meaning, because at the end of the day, this is what matters. And what we make out of life is what we make out of life. So it's up to us, our mindset, to actually make the best out of it, I would say, at any age. And yeah, just one thing also is one thing that I do is I do a lot of pro bono coaching and mentoring, and notably with young people. I'm on a platform in Europe, which is called My Job Glasses, where people can contact me and basically, ask for an hour. If anybody in your podcast, is interested, they can contact me. I'm sure you can pass on my contact information. I can't coach everybody on the planet. I don't have that many hours, but people are motivated, and they want to change themselves, and they want to evolve, and I'm always happy to do that.
Yeah. I think this is one of the biggest advantages I see also in this community have with also with this ITT world, with this certified master coaches, is that we have found our purpose and we love to support people finding theirs. This is really where I see us also on a mission. And this is really wonderful, supporting each other and making each other better, I think is really a great statement and on the end of our podcast. Which brings me now to Rebecca to say some final words, and then we are done for today.
I thought that this conversation was amazing. I'm taking a lot away from it. And like I said, it was very educational. And just you have a lot of wisdom. And you can, like, I felt it when we were talking that you know what you're talking about and you've experienced a lot. And it was just really interesting to talk to you. And I think our first episode with an international guest was amazing, could not have been better. And I'm very grateful that you joined us here today. And I think what you're doing is amazing. And yeah, there's really not much else to say. This was really good. And I'm taking away a lot from it. I wrote down things and I'm very happy that we had you here. Yeah.
Thank
Yeah.
you. Thank you.
Then I think I can stop recording and,